honorable members and the delegation from Royal College of Defence Studies. I must apologize for keeping you waiting. Our traffic was extraordinarily heavy today. It's not a standard that we start our meeting late. We start our meeting always on time. Now, I'm going to right away introduce myself, and then other members are going to introduce themselves, and after that, we'll give you an opportunity to introduce yourselves. I'm Lucy Stanley Mutimele. I'm a chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Defense and Military Veterans. I'm also a co-chairperson for the Joint Standing Committee on Defense. We've got two houses of parliament here, the NCOP, National Council of Provinces, and National Assembly. That's why that now the Joint Defense Committee has got two chairpersons. Over to you, honorable members.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The name is Shahid Issa, member of both committees, the Joint Standing Committee on Defence and the Portfolio Committee on Defence and Military Veterans.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is George Michalakis. I'm ordinarily not a member of the Portfolio Committee. I'm a member of the National Council of Provinces, so we fall in the Select Committee on Security and Justice. But I'm also a member of the Joint Standing Committee on Defence. Thank you.
Good morning. Officially, my name is Kobus Murray, and I'm a member of both committees, and I obviously serve in the National Assembly.
Over to you, sir.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Motomeli, and your fellow members. Can I just firstly, on behalf of the Royal College of Defence Studies Group, thank you very much for your hospitality and for receiving us here today in the Parliament building. I'll introduce myself very briefly. My name is Stephen Evans. I'm a member of the senior directing staff of the Royal College of Defence Studies. My background is in the British Diplomatic Service, and I've served as an ambassador and high commissioner before coming to the Royal College of Defence Studies. Just two points I really wanted to make very briefly about our CDS. It brings together 100 members, students, for a full 11 months. During that 11 months, they study international affairs and strategic issues. We also see ourselves very much as an academic institution, and many of our members leave the course with a Master of Arts, an MA. We are an entirely international body. Our CDS itself has representatives from 50 countries. We split up into six groups for our three-week overseas study tours. The group you're with at the moment, as you'll hear as we go around the table, is made up of an eclectic mix of nationalities, bringing a whole range of perspectives. And we're here to learn, and that's the other point I wanted to emphasize, to learn about South Africa, about Southern Africa, and about the region. Learn about the challenges you face, economic, security-related, stability-related, development-related, to look at all the sort of common challenges which affect not just Africa, but other regions as well, all of which forms part of our learning process, which is all about our 11-month study of international and strategic affairs. And once again, we are very grateful, not just actually to Parliament and government, but actually to people of South Africa for making us so welcome. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mohammed Al-Awadi. I'm Colonel at Kuwait Navy.
Good morning, Monty Long, UK Royal Navy.
Good morning, my name is Nadeem Akhtar Khan and I'm from Pakistan Air Force.
Good morning, I'm Mark Williams, I'm from the British Home Office.
Good morning, I'm Hudaini Rajapaksa from Sri Lanka Air Force.
Good morning, I'm Abdullah from Saudi Arabia Royal Force.
Good morning, I'm Stepanek, Army of the Czech Republic.
Good morning, Hendrik Killon, Finnish Air Force.
Good morning, Phil Lester from the UK Royal Air Force. Good morning, everyone. My name is Muqeem Abrahimzai. I am from Afghanistan, Ministry of Interior Affairs.
Good morning, Miranda Khabazi from Georgian Ministry of Interior.
Good morning, Nick Sawyer from the British Army.
Good morning, I'm Zhou Hui from China, Staff Officer, Army.
Jitu Mishra from the Indian Air Force. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Rich Davis from the Royal Air Force, anyone in the back row?
Good morning, sir. Kevin Ray, I'm the Deputy Defence Advisor in Victoria.
Good morning, Stephen Shelley, the Staff of the College.
So you have soldiers amongst yourselves, serving soldiers?
We have serving officers from all three armed forces, but from that range of countries, plus civilians.
Okay. Thank you very much, and you're welcome. We are not soldiers. We are a committee of parliament that is playing an oversight role over soldiers and the department. Now, the portfolio committee oversights the whole department, the Department of Defense and Military Veterans, the entities, which is Arms Corps, Castle Control Board, the third one, OMBAT. We've got an OMBAT. And the OMBAT, we are playing an oversight role on the department and the entities, and making sure that the Defense Force fulfills its constitutional mandate, which is to protect and defend the territorial integrity of the Republic and its citizens. Now, but we also, I saw your letter. We received your letter through Honorable Murray, Honorable Member. Thank you very much, Honorable Murray. And we passed it to our secretary. One of the issues that you wanted to know as to what activities, economic activities, does the Defense Force do. We are guided, as a republic, we are guided by the National Development Plan. That is the blueprint that we use. It's on health, on education, on security, and other matters. So we are also oversighting that. But of course, we also have a defense review 2015. That is one of the goals, is for the soldiers to participate also in the economic activities of the country. We also do legislation. The legislation that we have on the table now is the Defense Review Amendment, Defense Amendment Bill. Am I right, Honorable George? Right. And we are also going to amend the Military Veterans Act. We've got the Military Veterans Act, which is an act that takes care of our military veterans. Now, basically, that is what we do. Both committees do, the Joint Study Committee and the Portfolio Committee, and of course the Select Committee from the NCOP. Honorable Tlongwane, honorable member, this is our you are a new member in the committee, I guess. Yeah, as a new member in the committee, Honorable Mtlongo, and so he was not here when we introduced ourselves. Now, I'm going to give to honorable members to tell you what we are doing, what I have not said. Over to you, honorable members, and then we can have the discussion after that. Honorable Murray.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much for the opportunity and for the group for the visit. It's really a privilege and an honor, and it was really my pleasure to help facilitate this. I do believe that, as the chairperson has said, that we, our departure point is section 200 of our constitution, which clearly, you know, put out the role of the defence force in terms of the protection of the sovereignty of South Africa and its citizens. I think one must realise that we come from a background of conventional warfare to a situation where there's no conventional warfare threat close to our borders. But that doesn't negate the responsibility to still act to protect South Africa and also the region, because it's not about South Africa alone, but the region. And I think that's one of the reasons why South Africa is a successful part of MONUSCO in the Democratic Republic of Congo, to stabilize that region, because if we do not do that, it can spill over to Southern Africa, and it can bring, you know, other problems and challenges to South Africa. But remember, in terms of we've got a lot of objectives, as the chairperson has said, in the 2015 defense review, although it is difficult in terms of our current economic climate and the budget constraints to achieve that, but it still remains, you know, as my dad has always said, reach for the stars, and that is reaching for the stars. So hopefully we will get to a position of building our defense force. So you know, our focus is very much on, I think, making sure that our land borders are protected, not to unfairly prevent other Africans, citizens, to come to South Africa, but to prevent the unwelcome, you know, cross over our borders and many atrocities that accompany that, and substances and even human trafficking to prevent that. But it is also the responsibility of protection of our ocean borders, and in that regard South Africa is very much involved in the Mozambican Channel to prevent piracy from migrating down from the Somalian coast down to Southern Africa. Then also remember, we've got a huge coastline, and the ocean is a major part of our economy, the ocean economy. So our defense force must also protect the ocean, the marine borders, secure the development of the ocean economy, and then we have got also international treaties and obligations with regards to the southern seas and those islands around there, which might not be our territory, but in terms of international obligations, you know, we've got a responsibility to fulfill there. So yes, we are in the busy and the process of migrating from a conventional warfare defense force to one that is repositioned and regeared to look after our, if I can call it, the modern challenges in the defense. I think for me personally, the question that I think I have put to some of the military attachés in the past is, you know, what is the importance of this coastline along the southern tip of Africa for the international community? And it is a question that I think even the UN must grapple with and say, is this important? Is it an important alternative route via the Suez Canal? And what are the interests in making sure that we've got a safe a travel route around the southern tip of Africa? And what is the international community and our friends like yourself maybe thinking of that, and whether it is worth contributing to that and playing a role? I think with our challenges that we've got economically, it becomes increasingly difficult for our fiscus and national treasury to fund everything ourselves. So somewhere along the line we will have to enter into discussions and say, you know, is this important for the rest of the world or not? If not, then obviously we know we are all on our own, If not, then maybe, you know, we must collaborate on that as well. It's got a huge historical, benefit for the rest of the world. But I think it's something that we have to do. I think also in terms of technology, yes, we've got a rich history of developing of I think defense technology and even equipment, you know, prime mission equipment. But what do we do with that? Currently, the South African Defense Force is clearly not a major client as in the past, and I think our defense industry is part of the global defense world, and we must obviously also look and see how we can best play a role in assisting to develop that defense industry as you know, as being something that we can benefit from, but also the rest of the world. You know, I can talk for the whole day, but I think for the moment I'll leave it there and maybe leave it to some of my other colleagues to also contribute. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Murray. Any addition, Honorable Romachandikis?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. It's nice to see so many Commonwealth countries around the table, with no offence towards the Czech Republic and Finland. But it is nice to see, and I think that stronger cooperation between us is of vital importance. It's also something that I'm particularly very proud of, is that we have the second oldest air force in the world, only younger than the United Kingdom one, but I do believe we played some minor role in establishing your air force as well when we were involved in the war. But it is quite nice to see so many Commonwealth countries around the table. Just to add to my colleagues, I think some of the particular problems that we do face, which is understandable under our current circumstances, is that South Africa is a country that is very unequal. And we deal with the question of budget, how much of our resources actually have to go to addressing social issues, housing, education, poverty, unemployment, and so on, versus military spending. That is one of the big questions that we constantly ask. As you know, we are involved in protecting and trying to stabilize Southern Africa through our involvement in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And that is a very important role that I think we are playing over there. But at the same time, there's the question of how much do you actually put into military spending versus addressing these pressing social issues in the country. So that is something that I think you should be aware of when you look at the South African Defense Force. Another matter also with regards to military veterans is also that post-1994 our military veterans system is not as simple as many of your countries. We have incorporated post-1994 various different armies when the country was democratized. So that poses a few problems itself, and we are in the process of addressing that. So it's not as simple. I think those are two very pressing issues. But overall, I can say with the utmost pride, after we visited our troops in the DRC about a month or two ago, that we have excellent armed forces who really are very professional, and we are extremely proud of them. I do think that another point of discussion internationally, which does not always receive so much attention, is that the three conventional arms of the armed forces, air, land, and sea defense, has now also been joined by, I think, a fourth arm, which is cyber defense. And I think at this stage, particularly on the African continent, but I think it's a international problem, even in countries in Europe and the Americas, you have a definite problem where I do not think that cyber defense is receiving the attention that it needs. And I think that better cooperation internationally on that level is of vital importance. I think that because it's something you can't see, as with the other three arms, it sometimes becomes less of a problem. If you can't see something, then it's not as pressing a problem. But I do think that we as a country need to, or we've started to come to the point of realizing that this is actually an element of defense which affects the defense force directly and which needs a lot of attention. But I do also think that there's a lot of work to be done in that field, and I do think there's some scope for cooperation internationally, particularly in that field. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Any other? In addition? No?
And specifically on the economic
life, sure. Honorable Lord, sir.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chair, I think we should raise the issue of our involvement on the continent and to create stability and security on the continent in the interests of the continent and also Southern Africa and South Africa specifically. South Africa is, of course, playing a key role in most of the interventions on the continent, where they've been involved extensively in the DRC, they've been involved in Rwanda before, they've been involved with Soto, with the elections and the post-elections and the problems that we face there. So there's lots of interventions and also a arbitration that takes place, and with the assistance of the UN and the AU as well. What we did not exploit and which is under discussion, of course, is the national interest of South Africa and how does one actually also use the opportunity while assisting all other countries to create stability and security, but also lots of money is being spent when we go over and the reimbursement is never a full reimbursement. In most instances, it's 75% of what South Africa spends in those countries. So we are of the view that South Africa should also use the opportunity to create economic opportunities with those countries that they actually assist, and not to just simply assist and create the stability and security and then, of course, move on. So there should be opportunities. We want to create more bilaterals and other trade opportunities and investments and other things. And also South Africa assists with the training and preparation of all those armies to be able to defend themselves against rebel forces and other things. So that is one of the key issues which we're looking at, also greater economic activity that will, of course, be spin-offs of interventions on the continent. Of course, we have also special interest in the Mozambican channel, where we have Tanzania also involved in Mozambique and South Africa operating to also avoid any challenges to the trade routes that we have. We've also been called upon to assist on the West African side, where there are also challenges arising, and that is also under consideration. But effectively, South Africa has just extended the patrol of the Mozambican channel for the anti-piracy. So that has been extended for another year, and of course, huge cost to the country, but we deem it very important for stability and security on the continent. We don't have any challenges, serious challenges on our borders with any of our neighboring countries. But what we do have a problem with is the illegal trade that takes place and goods that are going through our borders. And the 15 companies that we have on the borders, we need to increase that so that there would be greater protection of the borders and controls, and people don't use the opportunity to actually deal in illegal goods crossing. But we've been successful also to arrest people and also the goods that are coming across, but it's still happening. So there is a challenge that we need to improve on with our neighboring countries, and the neighboring countries' defense forces are far less equipped. So there's a huge dependency on South Africa to provide that security on the borders. Otherwise, people are just moving through Africa and from one country to another illegally, crossing borders, etc. Of course, the other issue that we have to also improve is, of course, the radar systems. People that fly below the radar and above the radar and things like that. So we have to increase those. We have, of course, used the drones as well extensively in the Kruger National Park for the rhino, where people have been killing off our rhino and our elephants to get their tusk. And that has been a huge problem for South Africa. And the neighboring countries have been assisting, But in instances like in Mozambique, we've had serious problem because people just able to flee back over those borders, and there's no ample support to deal with them when they cross the borders back into Mozambique. So there's a challenge on that one. However, we've improved on the surveillance of the area, but the parks are very big. And to have people throughout the Kruger Park, which stretches right from Mpumalanga at the bottom right up to the border. So, and it's on the other borders as well. So, yes, those are challenges locally that we have. I think economically also South Africa wants to secure all its borders, the sea borders, the air borders, the land borders, etc. And to also develop the what we call the Pakisa, the sea economy. And we, of course, we found also a number of countries that are sending the boats into the international waters, but then they also go into the waters of countries and they actually exploit the fish at the expense of our local companies and to the country's benefit. So the country loses its benefits because others are exploiting it and crossing. So there's been also that surveillance and we need to improve on it. We are envisaging acquiring more ships to deal with the patrols. And of course, we of course welcome the initiatives taken by our neighboring countries to also do the capital acquisition of ships and frigates to do patrols, and not South Africa only. Of course, we got a huge borderline. South Africa is bordered by the Indian Ocean and also the Atlantic Ocean. So we have a huge coastline that you have to patrol. And also South Africa has the responsibility to Southern Islands, and also they do all the research. Their ships go out also to the Antarctic for the research that takes place regularly. So yes, lots of initiatives, but not always the economic returns that we expect. So I think there needs to be a more strategic approach to it so that South Africa can secure greater income for itself and to sustain these activities and also use it as a form of income generation for the country. I think that is with the economy. Locally, I think what the army's been called upon, of course, it's been done very prudently, and it's not been used just because people put a request, is that the president should agree that the Defence Force assist our South African police services in issues of local protests and other things that happen that normally gets out of hand, and also the issue of gangsterism and drugs, where they're still fighting and things taking place. There's been those initiatives, and where the army did go in to assist the local police services to deal with the situation. But it's not used as a common response to those issues. It's exceptional circumstances that are normally considered. And one don't want to also use the army extensively for civil protests, etc. It creates also the wrong impression and the force that is used. Because there's normally very little force when the army is called in to deal with situations. So yes, those things need to be balanced in the interest of the security and stability of our own country. And of course, we have these pockets of protests and areas where the crime is actually committed. It's not all over the country, it's very specific areas. So we're quite familiar with that. The other one that also South Africa has been quite involved also with the exhibition. So there has been a reinvestment into developing technology, military technology, etc. And South Africa has entered into the international market again, and they've improved on the Royfal, for instance, and the systems on the Royfal. So yes, for a long time they've not been active, and they've actually lost a lot of revenue in that respect. And now there's been greater investment from Arms Corps and the NAL side as well to develop more technology and to improve on South African technology for the international market as well. So we hope that will also have its returns, and normally they have an annual exhibition. The recent one was just where they also were part of the Bloom show in Bloemfontein. Just recently, last week, they were part of the show. But otherwise, it's normally in Rustenburg, where you have the huge exhibition of the military and all the companies that deal in the military technology in South Africa, and of course internationally they normally attend as well. So that's an annual exhibition that all of us are invited to, and of course you are also invited to see what developments are taking place. Honorable Chair, I think that is on the economy side, that any economy of course thrives when it's stable and when it's secure, and people then invest into a country because of that stability in the country and security. So it's important for South Africa that we deal with our local situation, that we also deal with particularly the SADC region, which is our borderline countries, so that South Africa can be safe and people can come to the country, do business, tourism thrives because of that safety and security. So it's very important for us to have all those issues in place and that we can attract international tourists and international trade and investments to our country. So yes, it's a concern and we normally have to deal with it effectively so that that does not impact on our economy and the income that we derive from international investments, which is absolutely necessary for any country to prosper and to thrive. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. We read that, nothing else. I know you are new, but you've been a soldier.
Not necessarily new, Chairperson. Yeah. No, Chairperson, thanks very much. I've been following your comments. Thanks very much also to our guests, and I think our recent visit to UK as police exposed us to reality of some developments that side as you are moving to a complete digitalized policy and which empowered us, which I think your Defence Force has played key major role with the digitalized your digital board, which I think our army and our army establishment here will learn a lot from that in terms of some enterprise work that the army is involved in terms of creation of spin-offs that eventually are cascaded down to civilian level of security. But in noting that there can be no development in South Africa without Africa being secured as a whole. As we live in this unpredictable world today, which means security shall remain a highly shared responsibility through global platforms that we have, which I think your visit will also help us strengthen our multilateral arms as the continent, as the world, because even our recent visit to China as well late last year, though it was police chairperson, but it exposed us to some serious developments there which are quite progressive and are in line with the wishes of what the envisioned world should be in terms of combating cross-border terrorism and all that. And having said that, Chairperson, I won't be too long, as you are saying. I haven't been too much involved within the decrees of the committees, but the reason why one had to come here today was to say, noting the good work that we have been doing all along with other honorable members, from these sister countries that are represented here today, I think it will be proper for us also to actually then have some kind of an eyesight or shared information how best they can be of help to us to actually bring about stability in our continent, because this continent of us here in Africa, I believe there won't be any economic development in the whole of the globe if and only if the resources of this continent are not well protected to the maximum for the benefit of humanity, not only of people of Africa, but the world over, as we live in a global village. But noting the imbalances that exist in the main and our recent past, where we come from as a nation, which we seek to address. And I am hopeful that the presence of Commonwealth countries and those that have recently joined, we will also be able as a nation to benefit from your presence as to how best we can actually then improve our own defense, because as members have highlighted the question of vulnerability of our own game through poaching and all that, even only if we don't have sustainable defense mechanisms that are well combined with civilian security at policing level, which the defense as the executive arm of defense must actually ensure that even the question of illicit flows and the flows of light arms, which to me has been a concern, that what will happen to the arms that we saw being dumped in countries like Libya? Is it not possible to find the route down south, causing instability in the SADC region? What are the mechanisms that are put in place to ensure that we avoid these things, which can, even if not dealt with, can actually cause a lot of damage to the whole economy of the continent, if and only if we don't put mechanisms together that will enhance maximum security to ensure that these arms don't actually fall to the hands of the rogues? Because if they can, they can actually wreak havoc, like what we saw post the Angolan conflict. The weapons that are actually wreaking havoc here in the country, coming through Mozambique and etc., are just nothing but a remnant of what happened during that era. So even only if, Chairperson, we don't get a joint mechanism as to how do we deal with these things, noting that we live in an unpredictable world today, particularly post-Second World War, what will then be the role of the whole world responding to the humanity, to the humanitarian call of ensuring that every nation lives in peace, lives in conditions of fair treatment, and enjoy stability? There can be no stability outside of multilateral institutions in Africa through our AU, in the world through United Nations Security Council. So what is then the role of us as defense forces to have shared responsibilities in all this, in order to ensure that we bring about a safer global village? And I think that will be the responsibility of this generation moving forward. And our failure, we will be failing generations and generations to come. Because everything, I don't believe that the yester leaders who averted nuclear wars through leadership, they just prayed. They provided that leadership because they had willpower. Do we, as today's leaders, have the same leadership strength and zeal as it was actually then projected by those leaders of yesterday? In short and in closing, I think, Chairperson, I think this visit will actually help us deal with these things in a much more rational way, in order to ensure that even the people of CAR enjoy peace without people coming from somewhere to cause aggression, which has caused wars of famine in those countries. How do we deal with these things? How do we get cooperation from other developed states in order to ensure that South Africa can deliver the golden egg that these people of Africa are expecting us to deliver, of which we can't do it alone. We need partners in that. With those few words, I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mhlongo. Mr. Evans, to be over to you and your delegation if there are any comments you would like to make based on the presentations that honorable members have made, and over to you, sir.
Good. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the honorable members for their comments. I mean, one thing I certainly picked up on was the point that was made that we do live in a global village, and therefore we have a shared interest in providing security for that global village and stability for that global village, and the extent to which there is a role for the multilateral institutions, including the African Union here on this continent and the United Nations system and indeed other regional organizations. So I think there are areas of commonality here that we might want to pick up on. And with your permission, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to give the opportunity to members of my delegation to make comments or ask questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairman and other members. It was an excellent update and insight into the economics as well as the security situation that you guys have talked about. To me, South Africa looks like the hub of economic activity for the region as well as in Africa at large. It's just like London or England or UK, you may call. However, whenever there is an economic prosperity, it brings in its own challenges along with that. And those challenges could be in any dimension. Security as of now is the biggest challenge that we are looking at it, but ultimately a defense can become another big challenge. However, we see that the defense spending is much less than as it is expected in the growing economic hubs that we have around the world. What is the future plan to ensure that we have a stronger defense along with the security mechanism that we have to ensure that there is no aggression from outside, because South Africa is not an island. It's connected world to the rest of the world. Thank you.
Any other comment? Ma'am?
Thank you very much for your very interesting interventions and overview of the situation in this field. My question is regarding the oversight function of your committee. Have you had any cases where the departments have not complied with your recommendations, and what are the mechanisms in place to ensure that these recommendations are implemented? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. My question is with regard to the issues raised by Honorable Murray. So we understand the broader perspective, the role of the government forces is to ensure sovereignty and territorial integrity. And especially with the economic issues, your main concern is towards the ocean economy or protection of marine resources. So falling in line with that, you have the you mentioned about the transformation from conventional forces to the meet the requirements of the modern day. So what kind of actions that you have already taken, and what are the plans for the transformation of the security forces? Because I'm from Sri Lanka, so it is particularly important for me because I'm an island.
Thank you, sir.
Eric Kellan from Vela. You mentioned development of the weapon systems. Could you give or elaborate, are you developing artificial intelligence systems as part of defense forces and automatic weapon systems as well?
Over to you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, sir, thank you very much indeed. I'm struck by the African Union comments that have come out from the members. And I'm just wondering, from the perspective here, looking up the continent, and how valuable the African Union is to you as a nation at this point in time. We understand the value of that multinational, and that was very clear. But is the organisation fit for purpose to meet your national targets, aims and objectives?
Hello, my question is more about your sort of oversight function. I'm interested to know, for example, who appoints the chairman, whether the opposition chair any of these kind of committees or whether they're all chaired by ANC members, and then how do you scrutinise the work of your intelligence and secret services, or are you completely forbidden to exercise any scrutiny? Thank you.
Sir?
Thank you. Nick Sawyer from the UK. I had the privilege of working with South African forces in DRC, and I note your desire to do more multilateral alliance work. So I'm interested in what structures you are trying to put in place to work better with allies on the continent. Is there a goal for common standards, common operating procedures, so that you can interface with these allies more effectively? Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I'm Joe from China. I'm interested about how to look after the vulnerable groups. Do you have some policy or some projects to eliminate the poverty or such kind of things?
Thank you, sir. Is that all? Okay. Look, the members will answer some of your questions. We don't really have some sort of defiance or lack of implementing the recommendations that we take in this committee. We have been experiencing a lot of cooperation from the department, and where they do not implement, the committee always demands that there should be reason given, because for one reason or another they may not implement something, not because they are the department is defiant, because there might be a lack of capacity, budgetary constraints, and so on. So that is the experience we have with our entities and the departments, and most of them, in numerous cases, they always get an unqualified audit opinion, right? Which means that the financial conduct is very, very, very well, because of the advice and the guidance that this committee gives. We have adopted a posture of not coming here and shout to the department. Instead, our posture is to assist to make sure that they do deliver and they account, because if you come and shout, you may not know what you want from them, because tomorrow they'll come back and then you shout again on the same thing. Now that is the experience that we have with our entities and the department. In terms of chairpersons of committees, mostly are of the majority party, the ANC. We, if I'm not wrong, we only have one chairperson from the opposition who's the chairing the standing committee on public accounts, what we call SCOPA. And it has been like that since the advent of democracy in 1994. I do not know why. I cannot tell why SCOPA is always chaired by an opposition. That is our situation here. Honorable members, can you attend to other questions? Honorable Marais.
Thank you, sir. Just to follow up on that point specifically, I just want to mention that obviously the way that we work is when we do oversight, we will identify matters and issues. It will, you know, get their view into our reports, which we then submit to Parliament, so it becomes official documents, and it's into the records. So, and then often we will, in our case, we work well, we will request them to appear before the committee and to clarify or report on certain matters. But obviously in other cases in Parliament, some of the members and the entities have been subpoenaed to come to Parliament. And obviously, from a political point of view, the minister is held accountable. So eventually, there are a lot of mechanisms to do that. But what the chairperson has not—he's not told you about his dashboard. You know, he believes in a dashboard principle. So in other words, that's a format where we provide to them and say, "This is how we want you to report on these matters and in this format." And then obviously it is then very easy to have checks and balances on our side of whether they do report and whether there is progress, and if not, what are the reasons. And I mean, I think what the chairman has been very diplomatic. I mean, we are lucky in our portfolio, but I mean, we will do what the constitution requires from us in terms of the role of Parliament. Can I just respond on the others? Some of them have been directed to me specifically. Specifically on, let me start with the development of weapon systems. I think South Africa has been known around the world for quite innovative mechanisms and an industry. In the past, we know that in the previous dispensation, the major client of that was the South African Defence Force itself, and I think it was a well, irrespective of the apartheid system, but the Defence Force was highly developed and highly technical. That defence industry still exists, and I think we encourage the defence industry to proceed. Mostly it is in the hands of private sector, but the NEL, which is a state-owned company, and I think the NEL is known to probably all of you, is still playing that role as a state-owned company, which has got its own challenges at the moment, but the defence industry is still very much alive, although the South African Defence Force is not necessarily their major client anymore, and their client is now within this global village. So there, and you can pick up from companies in South Africa that is still on top in terms of technology and weapon systems. Just in terms of the security in the region, we obviously belong not on an island in South Africa. So we have got what we call the Southern African Development Community. So that's all South Africa and our neighboring countries as far as even up to Tanzania. And that's why our involvement in the DRC is a SADC project, although the South African Defence Force is the dominant component in terms of our ability and knowledge in the DRC. But it's a SADC component. And then obviously we fit into the broader African Union and then eventually into the more broader United Nations. And I think our involvement in the DRC as part of MINUSCO is a testimony to that. So obviously then many things will flow from that, I mean, we work with Australia, we work with India, we work with Russia, because, you know, the Southern Oceans and the Atlantic and the and on the other side is the Indian Ocean is, you know, it's international waters. Everybody's involved. Just in terms of the transformation of the Defence Force, we have mentioned the Defence Review, and the chairman is also the Defence Review 2005, and that's a very important document that is available, obviously, to you guys. And that sets out how we want to transform the Defence Force from what it was as a predominantly conventional warfare Defence Force to a new South Africa Defence Force. The biggest challenge is funding and monetary availability. So the economy is currently the biggest drawback for us to fund that defence review. But that is clearly put out transformation. It puts out transformation to as far even as given indications of what we call a 40-30-30. 40% of the budget should go to human resource, 30% to operational, and 30% to equipment. So it's difficult to get to those objectives currently, but it's a fantastic document. Absolutely, some people would say it's a bit idealistic, but that's why it's a living document and it gets reviewed on a regular basis to fit in with current challenges, how it's been projected, and how best South Africa and the Defence Force can position itself, you know, in terms of all those challenges that we are facing. I think the whole SADC reference and our involvement in DRC is also how we are working with our allies. That it's not a South African alone issue, but it's really about our allies. Yeah. Some other people can also add if they want to.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I can just contribute to two questions, particularly asked by the two members from the UK on this side. The first one about the African Union. I think as a diplomatic forum for discussion amongst African nations, it does play a very important role. I do not think we currently have an alternative or a replacement for that. It provides us with a stable forum in which we can discuss matters that are of common interest for African countries. In that sense, it does play a very important and a very positive role. However, where it does lack, in my opinion, is that we currently do not have a forum on the continent that fulfills this, well, if you can compare it with the European Union, for example, that fulfills the role of saying to its members, you need to comply with certain standards of human rights protection. South Africa, I think, prides itself very much, especially if you look at our constitution, in the way in which we as a nation value human rights. Not all African continents share those particular values. That does not mean that some of them being very close to our own borders, that we do not need a forum where we interact with them diplomatically. We continuously need that interaction. But what I do think the continent needs to work towards is a body which does encourage and promote democratic values and also the protection of human rights. I do not think the African Union is yet at that level. Also, with regards to the question of oversight by the opposition, particularly the Defence Committee and State Security, I think the Defence Committees are fairly open with regards to information amongst the government and the opposition. We get along quite well, chairperson, don't we? I think it's in a democratic spirit, and it's done in the best interest, I think, of the nation. So in that regard, I do think it functions very well. Where I, as a member of the opposition, have a concern is with regards to state security in particular. I was last year on a study tour to the United Kingdom with regards to security, and we made a comparison over there with how your committees deal with state security. In South Africa, most of it is confidential. We have obviously members from the opposition serving on those committees, but what happens within that secure space remains there. It does not leave. So there is not optimized openness about that. It's done in a democratic way. But I would prefer for a lot of the things that do not pose a threat to our security not to be classified as well. So I think we can make some improvement over there. And then just finally, the question from the member from the delegate from China, who asked how we are going to address the question about the vulnerable groups. I think although we have a very robust democracy, as you might know, I think both the governing party and the official opposition, at least the two biggest political parties, differ very much on how the South African economy should go forward. We have robust debates, and we have very clear and different policies on how it should be done. But I think I can say with some confidence, and I think the chairperson would agree with me, that either way the stance, although the policies differ, the stance of the majority of South Africa's political landscape, at least, is that South Africa will, regardless of who wins elections in the near future, be open for business. We just differ on who can do it more effectively and who can do it in a better and a quicker way. But I do think that we understand that it's not even up for negotiation. South Africa is open for business, and we need investment. We need a strong economy in order to address that. That's the only way in which you can actually assist the vulnerable, and also ensure that we struggle with a legacy left with by apartheid that needs to be addressed for us in order to build a unified and a prosperous nation. So I think across the parties, we have common ground on the need for that. Just the approach on how to get there that we differ quite robustly on, but that's the way it should be in a democracy. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Trauma? No, thanks, Chairperson. I think, Chairperson, there was this question about the oversight role and non-compliance. I think you tried to explain it, but in a much more solid way, Chairperson. Our constitution remains our main weapon in this country because we are a constitutional state. There can be no organ of state that operates outside of that framework of that constitution. Defense Force has got its own defense, is guided by its own Defense Act. That Defense Act can never be contrary to our constitution. So the structures of parliament, as this committee chaired by the chairperson here, is actually keeping the minister or the executive on its own toes to ensure that our democracy and our constitutional democracy is well protected. So there can be no one who can just come here and just bulldoze our democracy, no matter how powerful that individual is, because we are the separation of powers, judiciary, and all that. Clearly, these separation of powers guarantee the future stability of this country under whoever that will assume office. There can be no animal who can just come and just call his shots or her shots in whatever way, with also our strength of our civil society out there. We've got very vibrant, powerful civil society in South Africa, unlike in other countries, for example. Then there was this question, Chairperson, about the AU value at present. I think, as you know, that AU is a product of OAU, which was our liberation vehicle throughout the continent during the liberation struggle. It's an institution under construction at the moment. And I think, though the pace hasn't been that much good at all, but I think some headways have been made. As you know, that right now, as we're talking, Pan-African Parliament is also sitting as we're talking here, which has recently been established, and trying to find itself in a much more conventional way, grappling with very, very sophisticated issues, you know. So unfortunate that we in the South attained our liberty after all had happened in the world. But I think pretty soon our AU, as the honorable members have also said, is also helping us, because we have an organ through which we can be able to channel issues as member states in the continent, be it of security, be it of collective development, like as we are working on setting up of collective infrastructure throughout the continent for intra-trade and etc. So at least by us having that organ, which is under construction, it is helping us a lot as a continent. The only thing, we are expecting the developed world also to come to the play and help us, because as you know, many African states, they became failed states because of various reasons, which means it's our duty as South Africa and other partners through these economic centers, be it SADC, ECOWAS, etc., to integrate our forces in order to ensure that we give impetus to this body called AU, so that it can be able to stand independently. And through the Parliament of Pan-African Parliament, which I think after this sitting, it will be able to come out with clear resolutions that will actually then give it full constitutional mandate, which I think South African Parliament is fully behind, as you have seen that it is headed by our chairperson of the NCOP, Ms. Modise, which is the determination by South Africa, a show of willpower to say we want to see AU moving. Senior leadership from South African Parliament, dispatched to that parliament of Pan-African, is an indication by South African Parliament to say, let us build a strong organ of an institution that will be able, because without that institution, there is nothing that is going to move. Because in Africa, we want to ensure that all despots, that some are even funded from abroad, are actually, we clean the continent. Because the poverty that one honorable guest from China spoke about, the poverty that you see in Africa affecting or inflicting our people in the whole of the continent, it's not that because Africa is poor. It's because of poverty of ideas and dictators that have been put upon the people by whatever powers that be. So we need a lot of cooperation throughout the globe in order to ensure that the despots in our continent are dealt with through the rule of law, in order to ensure that we don't allow hooliganism in the continent of whatever nature, because politicians, some criminals will hide in political force, in for political formations in order to loot resources of the countries, but for benefit of somebody somewhere. It is in that particular context that this particular visit of yours must also help us to say, how do we ensure that those who are, be it blood diamonds, whatever, smuggling, etc. That's why I was happy when we met in Shanghai with the head of Chinese police to say they want maximum cooperation from South African arms of security to deal robustly with poaching in South Africa and in the continent. Because some of the poachers use South Africa for whatever nefarious actions, but which are actually prohibited back home in China. And we were so much pleased about that. And I am clear that the Minister of Police and the members of security are working very hard on that in order to enhance maximum security, maximum cooperation in that particular front. But I can assure you that in no time, because in Africa we are saying our young blood can no longer allow people to ruin this good, godly given continent in under our watch. We have seen the failures of those dictators that were plundered in this continent. The continent is actually awakening. But it will actually achieve that through your support, particularly you as developed and developing countries. We need your support in order to ensure that we move with speed, in order to fulfill the dream of our fathers, like late Baba Julius Nyerere of Tanzania and many others, who died holding the vision of Africa, a united Africa, that must contribute to the world, to the global peace, with its resources, with its human personnel, etc. And I can assure you, we are here today, we will actually ensure that before we pass on to our ancestors, that goal is achieved. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. We must also say to you, in order to deepen our democracy, the process of making laws involves public participation. There is no law that we do which we do not invite the public to participate in that in the making of that law. That's another way of us trying to deepen our democracy. The defense review, in addition to bring about transformation, it also seeks to strengthen our task force. The review has got 5 milestones that we are currently oversighting the department on, but because of the budgetary constraint, the department decided to implement milestone by milestone, of which the most important now, which is the first one, is the arresting the decline of our defense force. We are, at the current moment, we are busy oversighting the implementation of that milestone of arresting the decline of the defense force. That is basically how we work. Honorable members, any other thing? Honorable Estelle?
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. Questions have been answered, but I feel that if the students that are here have further clarity, or sometimes they feel it's not adequately answered, maybe they want to have follow-up questions, then we can respond to that, just to allow the opportunity of further engagement instead of the just the response, which they may not be happy with, and they're still smiling at us.
Thank you very much. I'm made to understand that this delegation must leave by 11:30. Now, then it will be over to you, your parting shots.
Honorable Chairperson, distinguished members of the committees, I'm afraid time is beating us. Then, on behalf of RCDS group in South Africa, I would like to thank you very much for your time. I would like to thank you very much for your interesting morning, for your information, which bring us really food for thought in our continuous study. Your country is doing extremely well. I see proud people of South Africa everywhere, not only in this room. And I wish your country all the best in your in the future, as well many success in your very demanding job. Thank you very much, and I'm asking my colleagues in RCDS way pay appreciation.
Mr. Chairman, I just once again just thank you very much, and we've already expressed our appreciation. I mean, I think a couple of things that came out of this very interesting exchange that we will be taking away with us, and that is, firstly, the importance of the rules-based international order, and something from which I think all our countries benefit, and that links into this whole question of governance and democratic oversight and the appropriate way of managing one's defence and security apparatus, all issues you've touched on. Another thing which you touched on, which I think is extremely important, is the area of technology. It's mentioned that we've moved from three domains to four, air, land, sea and cyber. You could say five if you include space. Over the next 10, 20 years, there are going to be enormous technological changes. We probably don't even know what they are. If we think about quantum computing and artificial intelligence, you get a sense of what life might become, and that will enormously change the way in which we deliver defence and security, and hence the role that parliaments have, and as you said yourself, bringing about public participation in working out what it is that they want when it comes to the proper defence of their society, all areas that you and your committee members are going to be involved in the years to come. And the importance, obviously, of international cooperation, and I think that this meeting today is an example of just that. Really great that we've been able to bring together representatives under the RCDS umbrella of so many countries, each with their own perspectives, to engage with you. And finally, the absolute importance of the economic underpinning of stability, because that's true of all the countries that we live in, that we have to ensure that economies develop in the right way to tackle that terrible problem of poverty and to bring about something approaching fair and equal opportunity, something that you are all engaged in, and I think we in our own separate ways are engaged in our own countries. But, Mr. Chairman, thank you. This has been a really, really fascinating morning, and thank you for you and your members for being so generous with your time.
Thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. It is not the first time we meet the delegation from the Royal College of Defence. I've been chairing this committee now for the second term. We did have a delegation from yourself, and we hope in the future we'll still have a delegation from yourselves to share with us what you share with now, right? But I'll ask our honourable member there, Marie, to also to thank you and say bye bye.
Well, thank you. I think on behalf of myself and the committee and the chairperson specifically, thank you very much, Kevin, for all the arrangements. I think the fact that you approached us is a bit of a compliment to us, I think, and the fact that you believe that we can share valuable information with you guys is much appreciated. So the fact that you have invested so much to come to South Africa to do this tells us that somehow, you know, the world is still valuing our role. and our expertise and our abilities, and we can only thank you. Thank you very much, and we trust that we can also rely in the future on your support and also allegiance, you know, in terms of our bigger defense family, global defense family. So thank you very much, and may you enjoy your stay in this wonderful city of Cape Town. Thank you for bringing some water. And we wish you absolutely safe travels. And thank you very much. Enjoy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We don't have much of that, but you can set the back on.